Turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 21. Read the scripture and then we will pray. And I've been asked to pray for Micah, who is Amy Bednar's baby boy. He's in Children's Hospital, been having seizures, and been asked to pray for him today. So we'll do that after the scripture reading. 1 Kings chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. Came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word this morning. And Lord, we pray that you would just be with Micah today. Lord, that you would reach down and touch him and bring healing to his body. Lord, it doesn't matter what it is. We know that you are able to heal. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are the Lord that healeth thee. We pray, Lord, that his mom and his grandparents, Lord, would look to you, that they would find you to be what they need in this time. Lord, that you would just speak them and draw them to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Title of the message this morning, Deal or No Deal. How many of you ever seen the game show, Deal or No Deal? What? They come out with these cases that have money in them. Of course, the cases are closed, so they don't know how much money is in each case. The contestant has to open these cases one at a time. They start out by opening six of them, and then the next time, I think it's like five. And anyway, after they open these cases, they are given a chance to accept the money that the banker offers in exchange for the remainder of their cases. Sometimes they make a good deal and wind up with lots of money. Sometimes they get greedy and they don't wind up with very much money at all. But whatever, I'm sure that the money is soon gone. And sometimes people will probably spend it all. Others might be feel bad for a while at missing a better opportunity than what they took, but it's probably forgotten in the end. But in our lives, we face deal or no deal choices that affect us. And our choices affect us for the rest of our lives. And I guess I'm talking mainly to young people here today, although all of us can apply these things to our life. But the choices that we make in our friends, in our reading materials, and in what we view on TV, what we see on the internet, what text messages we read and send, those things might seem trivial on the surface. But those things could change the course of one's life. Your decision about sex, drugs, alcohol, and things of that nature will begin to change you in ways that you didn't even think possible. Your spiritual decisions are the most important decisions of all. Are you going to receive Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life as your Lord and Savior? Are you going to put His will above your will, above everything else in life? Will you live a godly life? Will you read your Bible? Will you tell others about Jesus? These are the most important things. These questions are extremely vital. Well, in our text, we're introduced to a man named Naboth. We have a deal or no deal board up on the screen this morning. We're not going to do it like the game. We're going to make some changes. But we're going to talk about Naboth and some others that had choices to make in life. And we'll see some of the deals that they were offered and discover if they should have taken those deals or not. And then finally, we'll get down to you. And we'll let you make the decision on your deal. So here we've got Naboth. Naboth has this vineyard. This vineyard has been passed on to him by his fathers. It's been in his family since they had been given possession of the promised land. This family had had this vineyard for generations. Really, it was more than an inheritance. It was his heritage. It was prime real estate. Somewhere along the line, the king of Israel himself built his palace right next door. Right next door to Naboth's vineyard. And so this was prime real estate. This is the most elite neighborhood in Israel. Nobody had a better possession than Naboth. But just so you and I know this morning that you and I also have a vineyard. You and I have been given a wonderful inheritance by those who have gone before us. And I want you to know that it is no accident that you are here today. This church is prime real estate. It has been given to us as an inheritance. It, not this building itself, but the church, the people that have made up this church down through the years have given us a great possession, have passed it on to us. Well, Naboth worked this vineyard. He raised grapes to provide a living for himself and his family. He must have been doing a good job of maintaining it because it caught the king's eye. As he passed by in his chariot, or as he could see from the balcony of his palace, somehow he saw this vineyard. He saw that it was well cared for, well tendered, and he saw the luxurious grapes that were growing there. It was evident that Naboth had spent a great deal of time and energy investing in this vineyard. You and I also need to take advantage of what we have been given, what has been passed on to us. We dare not take services like this for granted. Thank God for the church, and thank God for your Bible and your salvation. Thank God for all those blessings and things that have been passed on to you. And learn to worship and praise God for the things that He has given you. Like Naboth, we have an obligation to take what we have been given and make the best of it. And make the best use of it. And to use it for the glory of God. If our vineyard is well tendered, and if there's fruit that is growing in our vineyard, then perhaps the world will take notice of us. Perhaps it'll be an attraction to the world and it'll catch the eye of the world. Well, as Naboth tilled and worked the land, he knew that in reality, he was merely a caretaker, that he would not possess this vineyard forever. It was his to work, but more importantly, it was his to protect, because this vineyard would be passed on to his children. And then his children would pass it on to their children, his grandchildren. And on through the years, from generation to generation, there would be a new generation that would take care of this vineyard. Naboth was just one man, but he was a link in the chain of God's blessing. If he failed in his generation, the next generation would have nothing to inherit. And they would have nothing to pass on. Naboth had been charged with protecting that which was given to him. Again, there's a word of application for us. My generation has been given a wonderful spiritual heritage. I thank God for the heritage, the spiritual heritage that I have. And I take seriously the idea that I need to pass this on to my children and to my grandchildren. And to the generations that follow us. And we have to protect things like preaching the Word of God. Preaching with the filled with the Spirit and anointed. We have to protect things like old-fashioned praise and worship. We have to protect things like holiness and separation so that we can pass vital truths down to the next generation. And young people, it is not too early. It is not too early for you to step up and to take your place. Take a look at the vineyard today and get in there. Work to protect it and to preserve it so that the next generation, so that the generation that comes after you will have something godly to inherit. It's the way that God has set this thing up. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." You realize that what we have today, we have because the last generation did not fail us. The last generation did not let us down. They have brought us to this place. They have protected the inheritance. They have protected the heritage that God has given us. And they allow us to enjoy all of these blessings today. We need to do the same thing for the generation that is coming behind us. We dare not fail that generation. Naboth had an opportunity, secondly. He's out working in his vineyard. He has a visitor. It's the king himself. He comes and he has an offer for Naboth. He wants to buy the vineyard. Now, let's walk through the king's offer and learn that opportunities are not always what they appear to be. First of all, this is a royal opportunity. The opportunity came from the king himself. Who could refuse the king? Who could refuse such an offer? The king had a lot of power, a lot of influence. People typically did what the king requested. So he had a royal offer. He also had a reasonable opportunity. Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard because it was close to his palace. He could get out there and work in it himself. It would bring the king pleasure and enjoyment. It was a reasonable thing to ask. Third thing, it was a responsible opportunity. The offer would have given Naboth the opportunity to better himself. Who wouldn't like to better themselves? He could have been given a better piece of land. Or he could have really set his own price. And he could have gotten any amount of money that he wished. Cash money for this property. Most folks would have leaped at an offer like this. It would have pleased the king. It would have brought profit to Naboth. Seems to make sense. Makes sense on the surface. But Naboth saw what was below the surface. He saw what was really going on here. He saw it as a repugnant opportunity. Ahab not only wanted to buy the land and the grapes, he wanted to turn it into a garden of herbs. Everything that Naboth and his family had worked so hard to produce and to protect, Ahab wanted to erase. He wanted to erase more than just a vineyard, though. Remember, this was his inheritance. This was his heritage. He was offering to buy his heritage. You're going to receive a lot of offers in this life. From the guy who says, "If you love me, you would." To the so-called friends who say, "Oh, just come on. Everybody's doing it. I want to help you today. I want you to see that everything that looks like an opportunity really isn't a good opportunity." Let me share a few important principles with you about this matter. First of all, don't sell out regardless of who does the asking. Don't sell out regardless of who it is that does the asking. The king asked him to sell out. Regardless of who it was, Naboth is going to say no. Someone who asks you to do anything that violates your conscience or the word of God is not your friend. Choose your friends very carefully. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Also, don't sell out just to please the crowd. Remember, not everybody is doing it if you're not doing it. You can't say everybody's doing it if you're not doing it. Sometimes it's better to stand alone than it is to stand with the crowd. It was the crowd who said, "Crucify Jesus." Pilate said to the crowd, "What should I do with Jesus?" And the crowd shouted out, "Let him be crucified." There was only a small majority of people that stood by Jesus while he was on the cross. Do you know that most of the world is on their way to hell? There is a broad road the Bible talks about. And the majority of people are on this broad road that leads to death and destruction. We have to be willing to stand alone and say, no, if I'm the only one on the narrow way, I'm going to stay on the straight and narrow way. Refuse to go along with the crowd. And then no matter how reasonable the opportunity looks on the surface, take some time to look down the road and weigh out the consequences of your decision. Because every decision comes with consequences. There is this matter of reaping what we sow. And so there are consequences to our actions. Some of these consequences are short-term. Some consequences are lifelong. Some consequences are eternal. And so we have to stop and think, not just for the moment, but if I make this choice, where is it going to take me down the road? What will be the consequences of this decision? How will this decision affect me? Let's look at some people. Let's look at Eve. I wonder if Eve would have made a different decision if she could have looked down the road and seen further. What was the banker's offer to Eve? What was Satan's offer to her? Knowledge, right? If you eat of this tree, the fruit of this tree, you will become like God, right? Knowing good and evil. God has held out on you. God has held back on you. God has withheld some things, and you're lacking. Do you know that that's what the world tries to get young people to feel like? You're missing out. God is restricting you. There's so much more out there, but God doesn't want you to have it. There's so much more knowledge out there to gain. God doesn't want you to have it, and so God is restricting you. That was Satan's offer to Eve. She took of the forbidden fruit. But what should Eve have said to the serpent? Should she have said deal or no deal? No deal, right? She should have said no deal to Satan's offer. How about David? David one day looks out and he sees Bathsheba. He sees the wife of someone else. What is the banker's offer and lie to David? A night of lust, a night of pleasure, ain't going to cost you a thing. David, tragically, took the offer, and he lost a son as a result of it, had all kinds of problems as a result of following through on this. It went so far as to have Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, put to death. When the offer came, should David have said deal or no deal? No deal. How about Judas? Judas comes to the chief priests. He wants to betray Jesus. What did Judas get? What did the banker offer Judas for the betrayal? 30 pieces of silver, right? 30 pieces of silver if you betray the Son of God. The world today, so you know, it's money, silver. It's the most important things in life. Pleasure, another most important thing in life. Living life to the fullest, the important things of life. But should Judas have said deal or no deal? He should have said no deal. Wound up costing Judas his life. After guilt came upon him, he went out and he hung himself. He took his life. Never forget that the world, the flesh, and the devil are all out to destroy your heritage. If they have their way in your life, they will take everything you have been given and leave you nothing to live for and nothing to pass on to your children. I want to have something to pass on. I want to leave my children a heritage, a spiritual heritage. I think you do too. And so, young people, it is not too early to start thinking about that. The choices that you make today, right now, will affect your children. And so there are times you're going to have to stand up and you're going to have to say, no deal. Satan, I will not take your offer. Let's look at Naboth and his obedience. He hears the offer, he refuses. It reveals a lot about his character. So we can learn from his example. Naboth said, the Lord forbid it. The Lord forbid it me. He told Ahab that he could not sell the vineyard because God had forbidden it. And in fact, God did in the law. Clearly stated that the king could not buy the inheritance of the people. And so Naboth, here he is. He's confronted with this decision. You know, I could have anything I wanted. I could name my own price. I could better myself. But as Naboth thought about it, he said, no deal. No deal. I will not sell to you the vineyard. Your first allegiance is to God. Find out what he says about a matter and walk in his will. You never grow wrong. You will never regret letting the word of God be the guide in your life. The land had been in Naboth's family for generations. If he sold it, there would be nothing for his children. So he said, no deal. You know, unfortunately, some of the people in my generation are selling out. They're taking the offers of the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world is appealing to them. They're changing their message, their methods. They're watering down their message. They're leaving the old past for a new way they think that will attract the world to them. But there are still a few that are refusing to sell the vineyard. And I promise you that I will preach against sin. And I will preach that you need to repent. And you need to receive Christ and you need to make him Lord of your life. And I know it's not going to be popular for you or me if we can stand in the midst of an increasing hostile world and say, we will not sell out at any cost. We will not sell the inheritance. We will not sell the vineyard. Let me challenge you to be thankful for the heritage you have been given. Be thankful for those who faithfully tended the vineyard. I'm thankful for so many people here that have faithfully tended this vineyard down through the years so that we have what we have today, but we also have a future. We need to bow before God and commit ourselves to live before him in obedience and holiness for his glory. We need to commit to him that we will be laborers in his vineyard, that we won't just sit back. There's a time to step up. That time is now. You know that there are a lot of energy takers. We need a lot of energy givers. We need to stand up and say, you know, I've received a lot. Now it's my time to start giving back. Naboth looks at Ahab and says, I will never sell what I have to you. No deal. The word "the" drips with sarcasm. He's really telling Ahab, you are not worthy to buy at any price what I have been given. Regardless of who wants what you have, they are not worthy to take it. You say to them, no sell. No sale. No deal. Someone once said, every man has his price. That statement implies that everyone comes to the place where they will sell all that they have if the price is right. What's your price? How much is your purity worth? What's your price? Some have sold it cheap. They've given their purity to a pretty girl or to some boy who said, I love you. But your purity doesn't belong to yourself. Your purity belongs to your future spouse. How much is your innocence worth? What's your price? Some have sold it dirt cheap. They have given their innocence away to the internet, to movies, to pornography. You need to say no deal to these things. How much is your mind worth? What's your price? Some have sold it for nearly nothing. They've filled it with the language and the images of the world. Don't sell your mind. Say no deal. How much is your testimony worth? What's your price? Some have sold it at bargain basement prices. They have sold it to a friend. They've sold it to impress others. They've sold it to fit in. Say no deal to those things. And then what's your life worth? What's your price? Can you put a price on your life? Some have sold their life for practically nothing. They've made really bad decisions when they were young that have haunted them for the rest of their life. Don't sell your life for cheap thrills and don't sell your life for a few minutes of pleasure and be saddled with a bad marriage. Don't sell or give away your life and poison your years so that you can't be used of God. Don't do those things. Don't sell the vineyard. Say no deal to Satan when he comes at you like that. And then how much is your soul worth? Think about that. What kind of price could you put on your eternal soul? Some have sold it for perishable things. Some have traded eternity for sex, drugs, alcohol, pleasure, friendships, or what they think is love. They have sold it for things that will all perish, that will someday be all done away with. The only thing that you have of eternal value is your soul. Nothing in this world is worth your soul. Jesus said, "What should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" If you trade anything for your soul, let me tell you, you have made a bad deal. You keep your soul no matter what. You say to Satan, "No deal, I will not sell my soul. I will not sell the vineyard." I wish I could tell you that Naboth's story had a happy ending. Because he said no deal, we would hope that everything would just work out great for him. The fact that he refused to sell the vineyard to Naboth means that we're rooting for him. Things didn't work out so well, though, on the surface. Ahab's wife, Jezebel, had him arrested on false charges, and Naboth was put to death. Really do wish the story had a happier ending. But the Bible always tells the truth, doesn't it? And the truth is that if you refuse to take the deals and the offers of this world, sometimes people will make your life difficult. In fact, the Bible warns us that everyone who lives godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. If you want to live for God, and you're going to say no to the world, there will be a certain amount of persecution that you will face. You might find yourself ostracized by the crowd. You might find yourself being made fun of. You might be laughed at. You will miss out on some of the experiences others around you are having. But let me tell you this, you will be a winner in the end. You see, when all of this happened, God sent the prophet Elijah to confront Ahab. Elijah tells Ahab that he would die and that the dogs would lick his blood in that very vineyard. Elijah also told Ahab that Jezebel would die and be eaten by dogs. Guess what? That's exactly what happened. So who really was the winner here? Naboth was the winner. In a number of ways, let me give you a couple. First, he maintained his integrity. He lived and died knowing that he had done the right thing. That knowledge is priceless. You know, I go through difficult times in my life. Some decisions that I make are hard. They're not always popular. Sometimes people don't like it. But I do take comfort in the fact that I know that my decision was right. That's what he did. That knowledge is priceless. It makes for a clean conscience and a good night's sleep. Second, Naboth may have died, but he went to be with the Lord. I mean, what good is any kind of life that leaves you lost in the end? Death here is a promotion. But let me ask you, where does this message find you today? Have you sold the vineyard? Have you taken some of the devil's deals and lost some things? Well, I'll bring that fact to the Lord. If you're here today and you have not given your soul to Jesus, I would encourage you to do that today. If you are here today and you know you're not living for Him, you've walked away, you've backslidden, I want you to know that Jesus would meet you, He would forgive you, and He would restore you. Have you been thinking about taking a deal? Maybe you haven't gone so far to take it yet, but you've been thinking about it. Let me encourage you to come before the Lord and ask for His help, that He would give you the courage and the grace to stand and say, no deal. Do you have any friends that are selling out cheap? You need to pray for them, that God would give them the grace and the strength to say no deal. Do you need to step up and get to work in the vineyard? Maybe the Lord has been calling you into some kind of service for Him. If He has, would you just commit that to the Lord today? See, the devil will say, you got to serve yourself. You got to put yourself first. And the Holy Spirit would say, no, you've got to put God first. And the devil will argue and say, if you really want to be happy in life, you have to look out for number one. But the Holy Spirit says, no, if you really want to be happy in life, if you really want to have true and lasting joy, you give your life to Christ and you serve Him and you serve others. And then you find what true joy really is. Say no deal to serving Satan's way and say, I want to accept the deal that God has and I want to serve Him. The most important decision you will make in your life is whether to receive Christ as your Savior or not. This is the most important decision you will ever make. And so you need to say, deal. I'll take the deal that Jesus offers me. He died on the cross for my sins. He paid the penalty for my sins. He took and washed my sins away with His precious blood. The wages of my sin is death, but His gift, the gift of God, the gift of Jesus Christ, is eternal life. What a deal is being offered to you today. It's greater than anything this world could ever offer you. Will you obey Him today? Whatever it is that He wants you to do, what's it going to be? What's it going to be today? Deal or no deal? Could I have your head bowed and your eyes closed? Young people, let me talk to you for a few minutes this morning. I would really encourage you to take the choices that you are making right now very, very seriously. Think of them with the rest of your life in mind. Think of them with eternity in mind. Don't think of them in some light way, but think of them in a serious way. Think about them as things that could change the course of your life. And if you have made some bad deals, right now, would you confess those to the Lord? Right now, Lord, I confess, I've made some bad choices. I've made some bad decisions. Forgive me. Restore me. There might be some consequences. There might be. We can't help that. But from here on out, God will help you make the right choices. Young person, are you here today? You haven't yet made a bad deal, but you've been thinking about it. You're looking at your life and you're saying, you know, I'm close to making a bad decision. I'm close to making a bad choice. Close to taking the wrong deal. Would you right now admit that to the Lord and ask Him to help you? Help you do that which is right. Help you to stand strong, to stand alone if you have to. And young person, finally today, are you willing to get involved in the vineyard and work? It's your turn. It's your turn to work. You've been given great blessing. Now it's time for you to do your part. To think ahead. Not just think about yourself, but to think ahead. To even think of the generation that will come after you. And begin to tend the vineyard. Father, only you know what's going on in the minds and hearts of young people and older people alike. It's not just young people that sell out. Sometimes older people sometimes make wrong decisions and wrong choices as well. We take wrong deals. Lord, we confess if we have done that. And Lord, I ask for your forgiveness. I ask for your restoration. Lord, that you would even restore the years that the cankerworm has eaten. Lord, I pray that as we go forth from here today, that we would think of things with eternity in mind, that we would be more eternity conscious than ever before. I pray, Lord, if there is anyone here today who has not yet known you as their personal Savior, have not received you into their life and had their sins forgiven, Lord, that they would accept your offer of salvation. Lord, that they would take that deal even today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.